The psalm continues with David's plea, verses 10, 11, and 12. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. There are a number of things in these three verses that David asks from God. They were all part of David's life before he sinned, and he wants to make sure that they're still part of his life. And so he pleads with God to do a work in his life. And the first thing he says is, give me a clean heart. What David wanted was a heart that was right before God, a heart that was free from sin, a heart that was pure before God. The Apostle Paul picks that up, or the Apostle Matthew picks that up over in the Gospel of Matthew, recording there the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart. David knew that the only way to have a pure heart was for God to remove the sin and purify his heart. And then he asked God for a steadfast spirit. A steadfast spirit has the idea of someone who is serving God faithfully, someone who is not wavering. David didn't want to be like the man described by James over in his epistle, who was like the wave of the sea, driven by the wind and tossed back and forth, obedient to God one minute, disobedient the next. David wanted to be consistently faithful. He wanted a steadfast spirit. I don't know about you, but I struggle in that area. Do you struggle with a steadfast spirit? Always being faithful to God? And then David asked God not to remove him from his presence. Do not cast me away from your presence. He was talking about the relationship that he had with God before he sinned. Over in Psalm 16, David wrote, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. That's where David was before the guard to his heart was broken down. David's desire was for God to restore their relationship, because that is where true joy and happiness and satisfaction is found in the Christian life. Listen, you cannot find absolute joy and happiness and satisfaction in another person or in your job or in your hobby or in winning the lottery or anything else outside of your relationship with God. The fourth thing David asked for was the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David was referring to the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament was to empower people for leadership. One writer said that one of the roles of the Holy Spirit is seen in conjunction with the leadership roles of the major figures of the Old Testament. You see it in the life of Joseph. You see it in the 70 elders in Israel. You see it in the book of Judges, where the Spirit came upon certain of the judges. You see it in many other examples in the Old Testament. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit coming on these individuals was to show that God had chosen them for leadership and for power to fulfill the role that God had given them. And David knew that to be effective as the king in Israel, he needed the empowering ministry of the Holy Spirit in his life. He's not talking here about losing his relationship with God. We would say today losing his salvation. God does not give you His Spirit, and then when you sin, take it away from you, and you're no longer a child of God. He's talking here about the Spirit that had been given to him to empower him to be the king in Israel. The final thing that David wanted was a restoration of joy. He says, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation." Here's what David knew. David knew that sin will rob you of the joy of your Christian life. I have never met Christians more dissatisfied and more unhappy than Christians who have allowed sin to rob them of their joy. The reason that so many Christians today don't have the joy that they should have in their life, and we used to sing that song, "The Joy of the Lord is my strength." The reason that Christians today don't have the joy they should have is because they haven't dealt with their sin. The question for us then is, how many of us want these same things in our lives? How many of us want a clean heart? How many of us want to have the joy of the Lord and the other things that we looked at? Are you willing to go before God and plead with Him to make sure that these things are still part of your life as you confess your sin? The third part of the psalm is David's promise. You see that in verses 13 through 17. What David wanted was to have a right relationship with God and to serve God. You see, David had served God all of his life, but now there was a roadblock. It's called unconfessed sin. And before David could serve God, he needed to have that forgiveness by God's mercy. He needed God's blessing. And when those things are in place, then he could get back to the business of serving God. It's interesting that beginning in verse 13, David lists two ways he wants to serve God. The first is he wanted to teach others. Then, when I have been forgiven, when my heart is clean, when I have the joy of my salvation, then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners shall be converted to you. Now there's both a general application in that verse and a specific application. I think the general application is that David would teach the people in Israel as their leader, as their king. He would teach them who God is and about God's love and about the various attributes of God and about what God had done for them throughout history. The specific application is that he would teach them about the mercy and the forgiveness of God that he had just experienced. He could give them a first-hand testimony. Listen, I sinned. Everybody in Israel knew about David's sin. Did you ever think about that? I mean, this sin was publicly rebuked by the prophet. It was known by his servants in the palace. People no longer can keep a confidence. They had told other people, all kinds of people. I don't know about everybody, but all kinds of people in Israel knew about David's sin. It wasn't private. How would that affect us if everybody knew about our sins? We could just put them up here on the screen next Sunday. Here's how Pastor Steve sinned this week. Here's how, put your name in there, sinned this week. What would that do to us? But David could say, folks, I sinned. I sinned terribly. But I went before God and I confessed my sin, and God in His mercy forgave me of my sin and restored me and gave me back the joy that I used to have as a follower of God. And so there's a specific application when David says in verse 13, I will teach transgressors your way. Now, the second way that David wanted to serve God was to offer praise. Now, praise is an interesting thing. By its definition, praise has the concept of a very public thing. It's an outward demonstration of worship and devotion to God. But it's also an internal thing. David had said that it flows out of a broken and a contrite heart, which, by the way, he says in the sight of God is better than offering a sacrifice. You see, in the Old Testament worship, there was nothing more important than the sacrifices. That was the pinnacle of their worship. Every Jewish person desired to go to the temple and there to offer a sacrifice to God. It was the best thing they could do, the ultimate form of worship. But David realizes and tells us that there's something even better in the sight of God, and that was to offer yourself to God. The sacrifices of God, David says, are a broken and a contrite heart. God's not going to turn away that kind of sacrifice. It was possible for a Jewish person to go to the temple and offer an animal sacrifice and yet not have their hearts right with God. But it's impossible to offer the sacrifice of a broken and a contrite spirit and not have your heart right with God. You can't offer that kind of personal sacrifice until your heart is right with God. And what many people in the Old Testament didn't understand was that what God wanted most of all was not the animal sacrifice. He wanted a personal sacrifice. The Apostle Paul, by the way, picked up on that theme in the New Testament when he wrote in Romans chapter 12, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, why is that important? It's important because you can do all of the things a Christian is supposed to do. You can come to church on Sunday. You can put your offering in the collection box. You can sing all of the songs. You can read your Bible and pray. And if your heart isn't right with God, none of those things matter. They won't mean anything to God. Offering of self has to come before offering of praise. Offering of self has to come before the offering of worship. Offering of self has to come before the offering of serving God. David promised to praise God because of God's forgiveness, but he had to offer himself first. Now, the final section of Psalm 51 is David's prayer. Verses 18 and 19. "Do good in your good pleasure to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you shall be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then they shall offer bulls on your altar." Now, these two final verses seem like they don't really fit with the rest of Psalm 51. And some even Bible teachers have decided that, well, those verses were a later addition by someone else because they couldn't put them together with the rest of the psalm. In verses 18 and 19, David prayed for God to bless Jerusalem and to be pleased with their sacrifices. And when God was pleased with their sacrifices, then the people would continue to offer those sacrifices. Now remember, David has just confessed his sin. And he has pointed out the fact that what God wants is our hearts. More than he wants our sacrifices, more than he wants our outward worship. Now we come to the end of the psalm, and because David knows that God has forgiven, and in light of the fact that he now has David's heart, and by extension, I think, the heart of the people, David can pray for God to once again do good to Israel, and the people will continue to honor God with pure hearts by offering the sacrifices. I think the key to these last two verses, this prayer of David, is that it was all about God. It was all about the glory of God. Not about David, not about his sin, but about God. I think the psalm begins with God, "Have mercy upon me, O God." God, it's something you have to do. God, this is what I'm asking of you. It ends with God. You see, David had actually come full circle. Before his sin, he was in fellowship with God. His heart was right before God. And then all of that was broken. But now, because God is merciful, David has confessed his sin, and he's back to pre-Bathsheba relationship with God. Let's pull the psalm together. David confessed his sin. There were four things that went along with that we detailed. David pled for God to restore his blessing on him, four specific things he wanted. David promised God that he would do two things, teach others and praise God. And David prayed for God's glory. And just like David's sin changed everything for David, his repentance changed everything back to where it had been. You see, there is power in repentance. Repentance unleashes the mercy of God. Repentance brings about God's forgiveness. Repentance can change your life. Repentance brings glory to God. Wherever you are in your life, in your relationship with God, this psalm fits you. If you're walking with God, then you can praise God that everything is right in your relationship. If you're like David and you need to confess something, you can follow David's example and your relationship with God will be restored. You see, God doesn't want to be out of fellowship with you. But God hasn't moved. We have. God desires your fellowship. God wants to forgive you. He wants to bring you back to Himself. Now, when we sin, whether it's we like to rank sins, you know, the worst, maybe the best to the worst somehow, wherever your sin is, and David's was pretty bad. Wherever your sin is, you come before God and you ask forgiveness, and yet there's still a guilt factor. You feel guilty because of your sin. And that's a good thing. I don't know all about guilt and how God uses it, but I think that God has built into us a conscience that feels guilty when we sin so that we don't like sin so much. You feel that guilt even after you've confessed your sin. It might stop you from sinning the next time. But rest assured that when you confess your sin, God, in His mercy, has forgiven you your sin. And He restores you to fellowship. He cleanses your heart. He purifies you. He restores you. He wants to use you. Listen, we need to be so thankful that God is a merciful God, that He is a forgiving God, that He is a restoring God. And if you need to have that relationship restored, if you need to be forgiven, Psalm 51 is a great guide. It's a great teacher. Read it. Pray over it. Imitate it. And allow God to do His work in your life. You see, God has a plan for how you and I are to handle our sin. And we need to be overjoyed that God has a plan because we are weak. We are human. In our humanness, we are going to commit sin. And God knew that. And so He created a way. Excuse me. He created a way for you and I to find forgiveness and to be restored into sweet fellowship with Him. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful today for how wise You were in knowing that we are frail, in knowing that we would sin, and in knowing that there had to be a way for us to come back into fellowship with You. Lord, for that one who is listening today, who is struggling with a sin in their life, who is struggling because they feel like they have lost all fellowship with You, Lord, may they realize that turning all of that around, changing all of that, begins with a profession that I am a sinner. I own my sin. I did it, God. Please have mercy on me. And in Your grace and in Your justice, You will forgive their sin. Lord, cleanse all of us. Wash us, Lord. Whiter than snow, as David said. Help us, Lord, to know once again the joy of our salvation, forgiven and justified. And now we stand before You in the righteousness of Jesus, because You have taken our sin and placed it upon Your only, lovely, perfect Son. And He stands condemned in my place. Lord, help us not to ignore our sin, not to justify our sin, but to deal with our sin. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.